Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Defeats in a row, 3 games without scoring and 6 games without a clean sheet. The issues are adding up for the Addicts. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendes. Thank you for joining us on this week's show as we get ready to look back at yet another defeat, this time 2-0 away at Sheffield Wednesday up at Hillsborough yesterday. As I said, it takes our losing run up to 5 games. You know, the clean sheets, we're not getting those anymore. Conceded twice at least in 6 games in a row. Not scoring goals, you know, problems adding up. And only 8 points above the relegation zone at 1 point. It looks even worse yesterday. Thankfully, a late equaliser for Ipswich at Morecambe means we are 8 points clear and not only 6 points clear. Joining me to discuss all those joyful things, first up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Not bad, mate. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, as good as can be in the footballing circumstances. And also joining us, try and weigh up all our options at the moment, is Mr. Nathan Miller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad, boys. Better than yesterday, but today's another day. Nearer to Christmas still, so bit of a sense of deja vu every time we're coming on here, I think, at the moment.
But, yes.
I'm sure we're going to mull over the, or chew over the fat, rather. But yeah, not bad, mate.
Yeah. Have you got your Christmas shopping sorted yet then, Nath?
Eh?
You got your Christmas shopping sorted?
Well, that'll be telling, my friend. That'll be telling. I've got your one, but oh. I can't tell you what it is on over the radio waves.
I'm excited already to find out, especially what shape and size it is. Right, so as I said on this week's show, we're going to hit the highlights, or the goals at least, from the game in a few moments' time. We've got the reaction, of course, of Johnny Jackson. We've got some fans bar reaction as well as tweets and emails. So, loads to get into. Tom, before we hear the goals back at least, how concerned are you about the points above the relegation zone and the fact that we're on a bit of a downward spiral?
Yeah, obviously more than I was on Thursday. It's the nature of the goals that people have been saying anyway, but just carbon copies yet again. And I think going into yesterday's game, you know, if anybody listened to Thursday's show, I was prepared to give Jacko the benefit of the doubt around this formation. You know, I'm pleased that he's got an idea and he wants to stick to it. But just seeing the nature of the goals again yesterday, I'm of more leaning towards what Nath said Thursday, which is scrap all that, just get back to basics and shore it up. And get some, you know, even if we don't get a win, get a draw, just get a point on the board so that we can stop this rot now, because that's five in a row. Games aren't getting any easier over the next few weeks. And if we were to lose two or three more now, not only is that then seven or eight in a row, but also it's just pulling us so close towards that relegation zone. So that's what concerns me. I think also he was asked after the game, wasn't he, about whether the sort of character that's in this group, and I'm just not seeing enough leaders in there now. We need somebody in there to drag us through a game. And, you know, there's maybe Dobson, maybe Pierce, maybe Stockley coming back now. But I don't know. It is more concerning. And I was quite relaxed on Thursday's show and said, nah, relegation's not an issue. And it's only one more game since then. But the manner of the performance and the manner of those goals we've conceded and the fact it's another game we haven't even got on the score sheet, I am a little bit concerned now.
Mm. You know, it was the inevitability of it, wasn't it, from the first 5 minutes. You know, even before they scored, we were absolutely on the back foot. We were penned inside our own final third, corner after corner after corner, then a free kick as well. I mean, it right from the off, it felt like the writing was on the wall yesterday, Nathan.
Yeah, from the get-go, they started quick, put us on the back foot, turned us around, and then we couldn't get out. And we try and do that, but sometimes we just end up kicking out of play or kicking it aimlessly or kicking it up to Mason Burstow, who's got three big centre-halves with him. Do you know what I mean? And they were smart. The pitch was awful, but it was both for both sides. They didn't play badly. Do you know what I mean? It comes down to players not doing their jobs. And, you know, Jacko's not going to be... He's not going to escape criticism with the formation and stuff, which, you know, Tom just mentioned what we said on Thursday. But that's my opinion, and Jacko's got, you know, that's his team and he's choosing to keep it. But it comes down that players aren't doing their jobs. It's evident, really. And I mean, I think it's Bobby Robson, or it could be someone else. Someone said, if you're going through a bad run and you're conceding goals, what do? You stick to, you play 10 defenders. Well, we're doing that and we're still conceding goals. We ain't got any forwards. But it just comes down to basic errors. And Tom said it, carbon copy, like week after week after week. It's the same thing. So there's only so much that, I know Jacko picks a team, but when he puts those players on the pitch, if you're not doing your job properly, what can he do? He can't change it up. He can't change the personnel because the personnel is still the same. He can maybe change the shape and the formation, but ultimately the players, they've just got to do their jobs. You know, they're just professional footballers and it just looks... They are trying. Jacko said they're trying, but there's no enthusiasm. It looks like they don't believe that they can win a game of football. It looks like they can't string a pass together. You know, Mac and Goya say, kept lumping it to Mason. What's he going to do? Seriously, what is he going to do? But, you know, I was a bit more negative on Thursday, you know, a bit worried about it. And I genuinely am, because I said off air, people like the games that we've got against Burton, Gillingham, they've got Wimbledon. They've got things to play for. I know we have now, but we're supposed to have something to play for all season, and they're picking up points. And they're the games that I'm sort of worrying about now, because Neil Harris with Gillingham, he's going to love coming to us when we're in a bit of a mire. So I just don't know what to say, but, you know, it was just rubbish, just rubbish.
Yeah, there we go. I think that sums it up quite nicely. Let's have a quick listen back to the goals from yesterday. It's not full highlights because it wasn't really a great deal more than what happened anyway, but it sounds like the commentary kept cutting out as well yesterday. So we'll just have a little listen to the goals from yesterday. Commentators on Charlton TV, Steve Brown was alongside Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Bannon's about to take the free kick from Charlton in the opening 5 minutes. Brownie has been under severe pressure.
Just a little bit, so yeah. We'll get into it after he's hit this free kick in.
Bannon. With Lee standing on the edge of the area. The ball comes into the box. It's whipped in. It's a little flick. And there's the opening goal. Sheffield Wednesday have been threatening it.
Byers it is, I think, with the flicked head up the edge of the six-yard box, and Sheffield Wednesday have the lead.
Yeah, it's been coming. You know, you talk about having fast starts. Well, this is probably one of the best starts I've seen this season from any League One side. The intent was straight from kickoff. They turned us round. They put Fainwine under pressure in our left defensive channel. He hooked it out of play, and we haven't recovered since. That's the fourth ball that Bannon's been allowed to put in from a set piece. And on this one, it's telling. It's Byers who gets across his man, and he just helps it on its way. The delivery's going towards the far post, and Byers just does nothing but add a little bit of pace to it. It beats McGilvray and nestles into the far corner, and we have barely had a touch. You know, such is the start from Sheffield Wednesday.
Drifts inside the Charlton half. Out left to Luongo. Looks forward towards Johnson. It's a lovely pass. Johnson across goal. And there's the second. Callum Patterson, it is the goal scorer. It's the ball behind Giacimi. Finds Johnson. And crosses for Patterson. His stretch leg connecting with the ball. And Sheffield Wednesday make it 2-0.
Yeah. And back-to-back games, that's our right wing back done off the shoulder. And I'm tired of saying it about Giacimi. He can't defend off the shoulder particularly well. He's okay going 1v1 when the ball's in front of him, but actually recognising when he's in trouble and denying space in behind, he's not very good at spotting. It's a wonderful run from Johnson and a great delivery. You know, even at that point, you can still protect the middle of the six-yard box slightly better than we did, but give them credit. That's a wonderfully timed run, a lovely weighted pass, super cross, and Patterson's done his job of being in the right place at the right time to tap it in. But for every goal for every good goal that an opposition scores, you can break down what we've done. And we could have made that slightly harder. Well, we could have made it much harder. 2-0.
There we go. Thanks to the boys for those goal highlights. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it before we heard him then, Tom, and I did ask Jacko about it, and the formation has been something that's coming up and up, and I'm the same as you. You know, I've seen a Milton Keynes side who's been trying to play the same way for a number of years, and it's coming to fruition now. But obviously, I am seeing a Charlton side that is being picked. I mean, the set-piece goals will happen in any formation, because that's just marking a set-piece. It was Gilby who let himself down this time. Was beaten to the ball by George Byers at the start of the game. But just before half-time, you know, that ball inside, you know, Adam Matthews has gone off with concussion. DJ's come on. Is a ball threaded to DJ's left-hand side and to the right-hand side of Chris Gunter. So there's a positioning issue there. And it's something that's come up over and over again now. And I do ask Jacko the question in the interview, if we're more vulnerable to that sort of thing. But, you know, lots of teams do play free at the back, and they will probably find ways to not let that happen quite as consistently as we are. So, I mean, what does need to change there? Do the players need to be drilled again and again, or do we have to give up and just say, look, these idiots can't hack it at the moment. We've got to try something else and stick a fourth in the defence.
It's the latter for me, and it's not a give up, as you said, but I think it is stop it for now. It's just happening too much, and he says he's doing the drills during the week, and I'm not one of those calling for Jacko to be sacked, so I'll be very clear that I want him here next season. I think he's the right man at the moment, but that doesn't mean, or just because he's a club legend or whatever, doesn't mean he doesn't deserve criticism. And for me, if you're trying to do this many times and it's not working, then you've got to just try and change something more drastically, because you look at the goal as a whole, I think it was Gilby who wasn't really pressing in the midfield. And that was the same as the Tuesday night game as well. Midfield just have far too much space. And then you can see the run from out wide, from a long way out. And the gap is huge. And DJ obviously tries to go for it, doesn't. Gunter tries to go for it, doesn't. And then he's just clean through. And as I say, carbon copy of Tuesday night and of things we've seen so many times over the past few weeks. And what I'm struggling with is probably what Jacko's struggling with, is he says these players were doing that fine a little while ago, and it's all well and good to say maybe the formation's been found out, but you can't tell me there weren't players trying that in the early parts of this formation, because that is where the exposure could be, and they weren't getting away with it. So when we had, I don't know what the difference was, maybe certain players or personnel or maybe confidence, but it was working and now it's not. And I think I admire him for wanting to persevere with this formation. And if we survive this year and we go into League One next year and we've got people who are used to playing wing back and the right side of a back three, then I'm all for it. But I just think at the moment, something more drastic has to happen. And just put four in there, just for a game, and just see if we can tighten it up. Because, as I said in my earlier answer, just a point at the moment will make a world of difference to that confidence and try and get us back on track.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been sent a stat, actually, which is remarkable when you think about it. But we've conceded the same number of goals in this calendar year in the league in 2022 as Rotherham have in the entire league season, 19. I mean, obviously, Rotherham are by far and away the tightest defence in League 2, because the second tightest after 19, Rotherham is 32, which is Wigan. So, I mean, that is a remarkable achievement by Rotherham, but it doesn't sound great when you put it like that for us, Nath. I mean, we are shipping goals to fun at the moment.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I mean, Rotherham are Rotherham and chalk of cheese, really. But, yeah, it's still not a good stat to hear, is it? But, yeah, I mean, and the amount of goals that we've conceded, I don't know the percentage of them, but like if someone, you know, smashes one top bins, or, you know, there's a good passage of play, you know, then you sometimes you just put your hands up. But it's the mistakes and just the basic, like the positioning, like the one with DJ that was involved, it's just basic defending. But I said on Twitter, I feel a bit for him because he's not a wing back. So, of course, we had it. Remember when we had Paul Smith and he got absolutely pumped by, who was it, Rochdale or something, when he played wing back? It's because he's not a wing back. He's a winger for a reason. If he was a wing back, then he would have had a career as a wing back. And I know you can try and convert players, but they've got to have the attributes to be converted, if that makes sense. And he's not a wing back at all. So, but we're not tracking runners, or someone cuts inside. And it's the basic elements of defending that we're not getting right. And if you're not getting that right, not talk about recipes again, because that didn't go down well on Thursday, but it's a recipe for disaster, which we're having at the moment, which is there's no getting away from it. But at the moment, it's like we're looking at it going, how can we change it? Can we go to a four? Will that help? Will that mean we're sort of overrun? But and even on the other side of the game, like defensively, it's not all about the back four. Like, our pressing, where's that gone? We was right on the press at the beginning, but we can't press the ball anymore. We don't press as a team anymore. It just keeps coming back. It doesn't stick up top for obvious reasons. And yesterday, it was like a training game for them. And that's the way it felt. It just felt like we were just sort of going through the motions, making mistakes, being, you know, our own worst enemy. And that's what it's been like for the, I can't remember how many games now, and I just don't know when it's going to end, mate.
Yeah, I mean, the set-piece goal that did sort of get the game going for Sheffield Wednesday, like I said, we'd already defended three successfully, I guess, which is a good thing, but, you know, is that five in the last six, I think? We'd had a little hiatus of about two games without conceding from a set-piece, but Alex Gilby seemed to be the man who just lost his the one he was marking, and he went on to score the goal, George Byers. Why does this keep happening? I mean, Gilby overall has been so disappointing over the last few weeks. You know, a player who I think, when Jackson was building his momentum, the Jackson juggernaut, Gilby was a key part of that. He was getting forward. You know, he needed to add goals to his game. He got that one against Ipswich, and I thought, right, he's going to go on a run now. But he's regressed massively. And at the moment, he's bringing absolutely nothing to the team.
Yeah, it has to be as I say, across the whole team, I think it might be a confidence thing. Because, as you say, he was one of our better players. But then you look at Elliot Lee in the early parts, looked good. I know, again, wasn't getting enough goals, but looked all right. And Jacko made that decision, took him out, put Morgan in, and Morgan kicked on. And I feel the last few weeks, Gilby's just started to cruise a little bit, because, as you say, I don't think he's probably been good enough or earned his place, but hasn't been dropped. Now, whether that's down to the players we've got, or whether that's Jacko feels he's seeing enough, I'm not sure. But again, just sloppy goal to concede. Silly foul from Dobson in the first place. Simple ball in. And yeah, as you say, loses his man, wasn't even facing the right way. Easy header and you're 1-0 down so early in a game. And just upsets all that preparation yet again. And that one seems to have been a problem for a while, you know, since, I don't know when, but the last few managers we've had, for some reason, defending set pieces we seem to have struggled with. But that, again, seems like a basic one we should be able to get right on the training ground. And we just, as I say, haven't been able to for a long, long time. And, you know, if somebody's cutting through your team and scoring, or someone's belting one in from 30 yards, you hold your hands up and you go, fair enough. But we're conceding the same goals and basic goals every single week. Is that 8 goals we've conceded in the last 3 games? We haven't scored since, what, the Wigan 2-1 defeat? Like, we're not really scoring at the other end. I said the other day, we need to score at least 2 goals to win a game. Well, the last few games, we would have needed 3 to win these games. And obviously the Wimbledon game, we did have to score 3. So that's the concern, particularly when you haven't got any strikers. If we're going to look for positives, obviously Stockley coming back is a start. But until confidence improves, to me, it looks like the confidence thing. And Nath mentioned it there about the pressing as a team. And I mentioned it with that first goal, that pressing as individuals. That, again, comes with confidence. If you feel that you've got your mates back and you're all pressing as a group, that builds that momentum and that confidence. But when you haven't got that, everybody's just a little bit more tentative and sitting back a little bit, and it just allows other teams to come at you. And at the moment, they know we're vulnerable and they're taking advantage of that.
Mm. I mean, why has that stopped happening then, Nathan? Because, I mean, even that Portsmouth game a couple of weeks ago, I thought, we're back at it now. We're back at that high press, high intensity, in your face, went out of the ball and winning it high up the pitch. But I think we won it once on the edge of the area yesterday, and that was just from one of the Sheffield Wednesday players taking so long to release the ball. I think I would have been able to tackle him. I would have had time to come down from the upper tier where I was commentating to go and tackle him. Like, it was just a weird one. But, you know, that was when Mason Burstow fired straight at a goalkeeper at Peacock Farrell. But I mean, why have those energy levels stopped? Because it's not like, the longer it goes on, the more urgent it will become now. And I'm like Tom, I'm still pretty comfortable about the relegation battle, and we'll talk about those teams below us in a few moments' time. But I mean, at one point, we will have to start getting a bit more urgent again.
Yeah, we have to. I think a big part of that is Connor. I think Connor does a lot of the... we talk about Dobbo doing the ugly side of the game in front of that back four and doing the cleaning up, but I think Connor works channels. He puts people under pressure. He starts to press. When Elliot first started coming in, he was getting involved in the press as well, in that sort of number 10, in that little hole. But I don't know. Obviously, I know Mason obviously works hard, but pressing isn't just about a case of just chasing after a player. You know, you've got to chase the player into an area where he doesn't want to go, or on his weaker side, and that's where you set traps. But Mason's still learning the game. Connor knows the game, and he's an intelligent footballer. So I think some of it comes from that. And when he's not playing, we've only got Mason at the moment. So we haven't really got much choice but to get him to try and force him into sort of positions where they don't want to go. But yeah, the big thing for me is just that you can see it's confidence. You can see 100% it's confidence, because it's more, I know we had, you know, when Jacko first come in and we had that little bit of a run when he first come in with, you know, Plymouth and Ipswich, but the performance levels were 1,500 times higher than what they are now. So they're not bad players overnight. I know there's a debate on, you know, who people want to see here next year, etc. But these aren't awful, awful players. Otherwise, we wouldn't beat the teams. Like when we play Plymouth, they were banging form, you know. So it's just confidence, and like it just seems like they lack self belief. And if one of you, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in what you're doing, it only takes one person not to press at the same time, and then they'll just cut you open. So if you're going to do that, you might as well not press at all. But I think mainly for me, it's the personnel. I'm not putting all the blame on Mason, none whatsoever. I'm just saying Connor does a lot of work defensively, which we're obviously missing at the moment. But that's the cards we've been dealt with, and we've got to find a way around it, try to at least get some shots on and go, or at least look threatening.
Yeah, hopefully someone like Scott Fraser coming back into the side as well over the next few weeks. I thought, again, he didn't do a great deal when he came on yesterday. So was it last 20 minutes or so when he came on? But he did. There was one bit where he had the ball at his feet, made a pass, and then made a run forward, and he never got it back. But I remember thinking, oh, that looked impressive. Like, maybe a bit more of that would help, along with Jaden Stockley's heading in the defensive areas as well as forward. Right, I mean, let's have a look at that league table then. So Charlton are sitting in 16th on 39 points. Morecambe, 4th from bottom, so just inside the relegation zone. They're on 31, so they're 8 points behind us. Our goal difference is 14 better than them, and they've got the best goal difference out of all the sides in the relegation zone as well. So if it does come down to goal difference, then as it stands, we should hopefully be okay. But Morecambe, you know, they were pegged back late on against Ipswich at home yesterday. It was 86th minute when Wes Burns equalised. So for them, they've gone, was it seven without a win now? They've had two games recently where they've been pegged back right at the end at home. Bolton and Morecambe. Gillingham, they came back from behind. Lincoln away, they lost. So they haven't won for a while now. It's a month since they last won. So they're maybe close, but not quite getting results. Doncaster, you look at them down the basement of the table. Crewe and Doncaster are the bottom two teams. Doncaster are the one just off the bottom who could realistically perhaps make a charge out. They're only 2 points behind Morecambe. They've only lost one in their last four, 1-2, and they got a 2-2 draw with Wimbledon yesterday, having come back from 2-0 down. Wimbledon are dropping like a stone. We'll go to them in a minute. Gillingham inside the relegation zone, only one defeat in five. One at Lincoln yesterday. Draw with Wimbledon during the week. Draw at Morecambe, as we mentioned. Beat Cambridge recently. Lost at home to Plymouth. And then, as I said, Wimbledon are they're the side that I think if things do go dreadfully wrong, they could still be our buffer. They're on something like a 13-14 game winless run. And when they played at the Valley, I remember asking Paul Robinson, their manager, if he felt they were close, because there is a lot of draws in that run. I think I'm looking at seven or eight draws here, including being 2-0 up against Doncaster. But same as us, it's no good being close at the moment if they're not going to go ahead and get the points. So that's why I'm looking at those teams, a couple of which are on a decent run now, one of which is on a really dreadful run. How do you see this playing out, Tom? If we're not careful, do you think one of those teams, maybe the likes of Donny or Gillingham, who've only lost one in four, one in five, could make a realistic charge to try and catch us? Now, bear in mind, you've got Fleetwood, Lincoln and Shrewsbury in between us and the relegation zone, as well as Wimbledon. So they've got to overcome those four sides as well.
So, as I said at the very start, I'm more nervous than I was on Thursday's show, but I still don't think we are in enough trouble to go down. I hope I'm not being naive. I'm certainly not saying we're too big to go down, but I think some of those reasons you've just given there, I think the form of a lot of those other sides, I think the amount of sides that there are still between us and the relegation zone is a big thing. And as Nath said a little bit earlier, we have proven that we've got the ability in us to win games and games against big sides. I do think, and again, I'm not using this as an excuse at all, but the injuries has been a problem. Jacko has said it himself. I don't think he's lost when Connor and Jaden have played together. Now, obviously, we have had to cope with the fact that we haven't had them and we haven't coped. And that is totally those other players, you know, need to look at themselves for that. But I just think with enough players coming back, I think with some of the games that we do have towards the back end of the season, and I think some of those other factors, I do think, you know, in my heart of heart, I think we'll be fine. Now, whether that's good enough that we survive is another question. But I just think there's enough there that we will get over the line. Now, we shouldn't even have to be talking about that. And as I say, that's another point. But yeah, I'm looking nervously over my shoulder, but I'm hopeful that there is enough there that means we will stay up. But no, if we lose a couple more, who knows? I could change.
Yeah, right, lovely stuff. Let's have a listen to what Johnny Jackson then made of the defeat up at Hillsborough. I asked him what his thoughts were on the performance.
I thought it was a disappointing performance. Obviously a terrible start, something that we spoke about, that they, you know, that they try and start quick and get you turned and put pressure on you, and we wanted to do that to them, but we wasn't able to. Found ourselves defending from the sort of first seconds, really, defending set play situations, and they're strong in them in those situations. So obviously, you know, it's a nightmare start to the game, and we never really recovered. And then obviously conceding, getting one down, you know, and you've got something to chase. But conceding again right just before half time, and disappointing goal, the way we've been done there, give us too much to do.
Feels like it's a similar problem to what we've seen again over the last few weeks. The set piece with the first one and the second one, again, a ball sort of down the side of the defence opening them up.
Yeah, it is. It's obviously, you know, a bit of a weakness for us at the minute, and you know, it's disappointing because, you know, we highlight that we haven't been good enough in those situations, and we practice and we work and we speak about, you know, what we need to do better, but it's not being implemented at the minute. And that's frustrating.
I mean, with that ball down the side of the defence, and I know it's a question we have asked you a few times about the formation, is the formation something that's vulnerable to that, or is it still individuals you feel that need to step up and stop that happening?
No, but there's vulnerabilities and strengths in every formation. Sheffield Wednesday play the exact formation, don't they? So it is things that, you know, we work on those situations, and we work about and we speak about how we avoid them. And on the training pitch, we drill it. But you step over the white line, you have to take that responsibility, and it's not happening at the minute.
It's a tough run, isn't it, now? And morale, what's that like in the camp with, I guess, the chance of going up, as we said, is long gone. They're slightly looking over our shoulders at one point today when Morecambe were winning. What's the morale like in the group?
Well, they're disappointed because they don't like losing. None of us like losing, me especially. So, you can sit there feeling sorry for yourself, or you can do something about it and roll your sleeves up, and you know, that's what they need to do. It will turn. But it takes hard work, it takes a bit of bottle, and we'll find out whether they've got it in them over the coming weeks. And if they haven't, there'll be other people to come in and take their place.
We started to see some of those players come back in today, the likes of Scott Fraser and Jaden Stockley, so that is hopefully some light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, and you know, obviously it's cost us having the likes of Jaden and Connor and Chooks and Scott missing. We haven't been able to ride it out, especially with the run of fixtures that we've had. So, great that Jaden's, you know, got back on the pitch today. Need to keep him fit. Need to get him back to full speed. Hopefully Connor can come back and join him, because we know that when and them two play together, that gives us a real platform and a real chance of winning games. So. And good that Scotty got back on the pitch today, because obviously he's been out a while now, and he'll improve us as well. Once he's back up to full speed, he'll definitely make the team better.
What's the story with Ryan? Obviously we know he's had terrible trouble with injuries throughout his Charlton career. What's the latest setback, and do you have any idea how long he may be out for?
No, I don't know time periods, but yeah, he's had another issue with his thigh, so we have to just wait and see. Obviously not available today. I don't know the time frame on it. Hopefully not too long, but obviously, you know, he's a player that's got, you know, a history of picking up these types of things. So the more you get, you know, sometimes the more careful you have to be with your return to play.
Also, you mentioned about the five-game losing run now. I mean, what would you think it will take to just sort of shake him out of this? Will it be a short, sharp shot, like a raft of changes to the team, or just one result like the Portsmouth one that they could try and build on?
Yeah, we just have to try and dig a result out. And like I said, it just comes from hard work. So I'll be watching closely on the training pitch, and people that aren't, in my opinion, pulling their weight or doing it, or obviously when I watch the game back and dissect that and things that I see, will all be in my mind when I'm picking a team to beat Sunderland. Like, are we capable of doing that? Yeah, of course we are. Of course we are on any given day, especially, you know, if Stockley's available to us and one or two others, it obviously gives us more of a chance. So that's what we're trying to do.
So you mentioned to Richard in the week about how tough this period is. I guess this is partly why you came into management. It's easy when it's the winning run like we saw, but this is where you really start to learn your trade.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's difficult. It's not a nice feeling. I don't like losing, and then, you know, you have to try. It's my job to try and pick the lads up, and it's a great game for us next week. And, you know, at home against a team like Sunderland that will bring a lot of supporters, it's the sort of games that you want to be involved in, you know, playing or managing. So I won't be feeling sorry for myself. I'll just be trying to work out a way and the best 11 and 18 and game plan to try and beat Sunderland.
Cheers, Sonny.
Do you have any update on Adam Matthews?
He looks like he's got a concussion, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Well, it's way too early to tell. He has to go into like
protocol. With Adam, I don't know how bad it is.
He tried to play on, didn't he?
Tried to play on, and then he said he felt groggy, so I had to get him off the pitch. Once a player reports that, you have to get him off, and then you have to certain return to play protocols. I don't know exactly what they are and what the times on them are, but I imagine it would be touch and go whether he's involved Saturday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in, and there's the opening goal. Charlton scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday afternoon. I hope you guys are well. Thanks to all of you who've got in contact with the show. We're going to be looking at some of those messages shortly. What did you make of Jacko's demeanour yesterday, Nathan? It must be so frustrating. You know, he's often said, he's working towards something he has in mind. You know, it's, I asked him the question about whether the formation is leading us a little bit vulnerable at the moment, but he answered that the way he wanted to. I mean, what would you make of how frustrated he must be with the fact that things aren't going the way he wants them to go at the moment?
Yeah, he looks tired, he looks frustrated, he looks fuming. But you know, he knows what the issues are, and he's going to get back on the training field this week and try to put it right. But like I said at the top of the show, it's, you've got to have players doing their job. If he feels, you know, he's just going to stick at this this way of playing, that, you know, that's what, you know, that's what he's getting paid to do. I said on Thursday, I don't have any problem believing with people believing in a way of playing, but I think sometimes if you're struggling, there's nothing wrong with it. Doesn't mean that you're going to throw it all in the bin. It just means you're just going to get back on the straight and narrow and try and sort it out. So he does cut a frustrated figure at the moment, and understandably so, because he's probably feeling it just like we are, because he knows the club and he knows where we've been, and it's not nice for him to be at the helm when we're being in the lowest position that we've had for God knows how long. So yeah, he looks frustrated, but he obviously believes in the players, which I think deep down, I know we're all frustrated, but and there's certain players that some of us don't like or do not rate, etc., etc. But we know that it's there. And I think the only solace I can take for the fact, I looked at the fixtures earlier, and I think apart from Sunderland on Saturday and maybe Ipswich, everyone else we're playing are either down there below us or around us, or they haven't got anything to play for, whereas Morecambe are playing six of their remaining games. They're all chasing the playoffs. So it's... I think he just wants that bit of luck to go our way, just a scrappy 1-0 or something, just to pick the lads up, because you can tell, as we've said many a times, that it's just looking a bit dire and looking quite flat. And you can see that in his body language. He looks shattered. He looks absolutely shattered.
Yeah, but, well, we need to find a way, don't we? It was a long old journey up yesterday. I did have a good laugh on the train, actually, from Doncaster to Sheffield. I had to change there, and I bumped into like three generations of the same family all going to the game, the Evans family, and they're having a good old laugh. I enjoyed talking to them, at least. I know they listen to the pod as well, so I hope you guys made the most of your day to some extent. And thanks for coming over and chatting on the train up, because I was on my own yesterday, so it was nice to have someone to speak to. I mean, Carl, it's the first tweet comes in from Carl, and he's asking the question, where does the responsibility start and stop? Based on, obviously, when I spoke to Jacko yesterday and I asked him about the formation and the vulnerability, and he says he drills it into the players. He wants them to take a bit more responsibility for being in the right position or getting head on a set piece, something like that. But Carl says, when does the responsibility start and stop? Jacko calling players to stand up and be counted, but again, we play a formation with players out of position between them. They need to find 9 points and then the divorce can happen. This group of players cannot stay next year. I mean, what's your response to that, Tom?
I think, as Nath said in his previous answer, there are players there that I do want to stay. I know that there is a lot of them that split opinion. People like yourself mentioning Alex Gilby earlier, I thought he was somebody who was nailed on to stay for another year, but then performances have dipped off. It's a mixed bag. I think in terms of responsibility, it has to be shared. You know, Jacko ultimately will say it rests with him because he is the manager. He puts the players out there and he picks the team and the side and the formation. But at the same time, at some point, these players are out there have got to take some of the responsibility themselves and say, do you know what? Maybe our manager is persevering with the formation we're struggling with, but we could still do better. Like some of the basics that they are getting wrong, there is no way that he's teaching them that or telling them that. So it is split. Gallen and the recruitment guys also take a share of the responsibility. Now, I know they were recruiting for a manager who wanted to play a slightly different style, but despite that, you know, we're looking at the character of some of these players, like I spoke about earlier. I don't think they expected us to be where we are, so maybe that's why that character isn't there. But, you know, we're not seeing enough of that either. So I think it's shared across all of them. It's a collective responsibility. They're a club at the end of the day, and they're a team, so they all have to take their share. But as I say, in terms of the personnel and who we keep, obviously that will be a decision for the summer, but there are a lot of players in there that I would like, because when we get it right, we are a good side. It's just for the last 5, 6, 7 games, we haven't. But, you know, that spell when he first took over, and I know it's a while ago now, but we showed that we could put good runs together, that we could be hard to beat, that we were hard to break down, we could score goals. So I think there is positive signs in this squad. It obviously needs reinforcement, and particularly if we're playing these wing-backs, we need players that play in that position naturally, and hopefully that's something we can do over the summer. But yeah, it's a difficult one, I think, but the responsibility lies all over that pitch and with the manager and assistant.
Right, Sam says, I'm getting fed up with the current performances. Jacko needs to switch to 4-4-2. Yes, we have injuries, but there should be no excuses for conceding 8 goals in 3 games. Change is 100% needed. Michael said, in hindsight, I'm still not sure if Jacko does deserve a summer to build his team, because the chance wouldn't be based on what's on his CV. It's just business at the end of the day. Tom says, if he can't get the best out of these players, questions have to be asked if he should be trusted with another brand new squad. Ben just wants to see the season ended. Yeah, I agree with you there. Richard says, this does remind me of the last days of Adkins. Relegation is a possibility. At one point yesterday, we were only 6 points clear until Ipswich equalised. Can Jacko turn this around, or do we need another reset? Wynn's asking, you know, would changing the manager work with these players? And then Mick responded, well, I can't see that myself. Maybe only a few games bounce, so maybe perhaps some blame on the players there as well. Tom Bramley says, it was a really poor performance. I hate leaving games early, but I had to yesterday. It was that bad. Jacko needs to make a change, or I fear Sandgaard might get rid of him before the end of the season. Dave says, given that many supporters, me included, were clamouring for JJ to get the job, what has gone wrong? If JJ isn't careful, he will join Nigel Adkins at the Dole queue. Formation and tactics need a rethink. John says, I have felt many emotions at the Valley over the years. Up until Tuesday, sadness and pity were absent, but they're not. And now Robert says, everything about the last handful of performances stinks. The body language, sitting off formation, we're getting caught out of position at the back time and again, and the balls that are being played between our centre-halves and full-backs are extremely worrying. It's clear other teams are targeting this area. Something is needed and fast to shore up this lack of cohesion and desire. I like JJ and really want him to succeed. I know we've got a worrying amount of injuries, but I feel we should shake things up formation-wise. More points needed and quick. So Darcy says, beaten by the better team again, maybe they should take a leaf out of the women's team. They seem to be going in the opposite direction. Yeah, playing right now, actually, the women's team against Everton in the FA Cup, still 0-0 after 16 minutes at the Oakwood. I imagine by the time you hear this, you'll know the final result. And Dan says that JJ unfortunately has to take some backlash for tactics for 5 losses in a row. It doesn't help that our only half-decent attacking players are injured, but the midfield and defence are letting him down, and us fans as well, massively. The team, when Jacko was caretaker, played for him. Now they don't. And finally, Charlton Dreaming says, 3-5-2 with no senior strikers or specialist wing-backs and centre-backs, lacking mobility is not good. Formation has weaknesses, and there's more even exposed with the players playing out of their best position. I want JJ to succeed. Some flexibility is needed, though. Curbs would have tried something else. Right, let's get some more fan reaction as well. Lewis delved into the pubs and the clubs of Sheffield after the game yesterday and asked for a few people's opinion on the result up at Hillsborough.
I thought we were pretty much on the back foot from the start. Like 5 minutes that in and we were 1-0 down. No one looked interested. Still playing the same system that we've been playing for weeks, which it hasn't been working for us. It really hasn't. It's like, big respect for Johnny Jackson, but he needs to change it up once he could see himself out of a job at this rate.
Yeah, some question marks, as you say, again, about the system, playing five at the back. Are you finding it frustrating that he's not looking to change it and just keep sticking with that every week?
Oh, absolutely. We've got players on the bench and that potentially could fit into the system that we are playing, but we don't have all the components for it. It's like we're playing like right backs and left backs and right midfielders and left midfielders as wing backs. It's not working. It's not their natural position. Everyone's kind of just doing their own thing.
Disappointing from start to finish, really. The formation didn't work for me. Five at the back. Again, it's fine for the start, but once you go a goal down, you need to change it up. Jackson just didn't do that today. Sticking at five in the back, we need to freshen things up. Use the best players we got for the best positions. I just didn't feel like we did that today. Didn't do enough to warrant a win, to be fair. We didn't deserve anything out of the game. Disappointing day all round, really.
With only 8 points, it's only three games away from defeat with over 10 games to play, basically. And it is worrying for all. I don't think we're going down, but it is in the back of my mind.
I feel like we don't have the sort of sufficient players to play wing-backs. I like the idea of the formation, but on a day-to-day, left wing-back, right wing-back, we just don't have the calibre of players to play that successfully. And I feel like you look at your squad, who have you got to play? If you haven't got sufficient wing-backs, why are you playing five at the back? Play to your strengths. If you can play 4-4-4-2 or even a 4-5-1 today, I appreciate we haven't got many strikers at the moment, but you play to your strengths, you see what's on the bench, you see what your squad's like. You don't need to necessarily play players out of the position just to warrant that five at the back. It just isn't working.
No, I want to see Jackson as manager next season, but I think for him to succeed, he's going to need a complete clear out of all the deadwood at the club at the minute. And as we all know, there is quite a few players that aren't quite cutting
it. I feel like Jackson, inevitably, he's going to get more of a chance to sort of prove himself and have a bit more respect from the fans. But I feel like after a while, probably give it 3-4 more games. If the results don't go our way, I can see the fans turning as well. And that's inevitable. You need results. And after a few games, if it is 4 or 5 games, we're still not picking up the points, we could feel ourselves like down that bottom end of the table, and that's when things could really turn for the worse. But I hope that doesn't happen. I've got faith in Jackson. I hope he does turn it around. But there's all that sort of, has he got enough experience to actually change things when things aren't going too well? Has he got the experience to say change the formation up when we do go a goal behind? Can he actually think about what's the plan B? And that's the only sort of concern at the back of mind at the moment. Has he got that plan B?
There we go. Thanks to the fans who joined us in the fans bar yesterday, on the fans bar feature at least, to give their views. Changing tactics, certainly something that's come up a lot recently. Well, let's have a look at some of the emails as well. McSquared said, positives from the Sheffield Wednesday match. Stockley and Fraser back on the pitch. The result wasn't worse than the previous one. Other than that, we were totally outplayed in every department. Don't look remotely like scoring again. The match was over again by half-time, if not after the first goal went in. Lico and Jaisimi looked poor again after they came on. We can only hope that Stockley and Fraser get back to full fitness very quickly to give us some desperately needed thrust. Our midfield showed no lack of effort again, but often look far too lightweight and are out fought too easily. Whatever happens, a major rebuild is going to be required in the summer, as far too many of our players are just not up to it. I mean, Nathan, I'll bring you in on that. Lico and Jaisimi, would you want to join and have your say on those two?
Not really.
Go on. Which one would you like to speak about in particular? I know the answer's Lico, so just start.
So I think I can't
what pod it was on, but I just don't. He's not affected the game as. I must have. So when he first joined, when we got him on loan the first time, happy. When he was with Taylor, I was happy. He was fine. He was a maverick. He was unpredictable in a good way. This season, he signed on loan. I was fairly positive. And this year, he's been unpredictable, but for the other reasons. Unpredictable in terms of, like, I don't know what he's going to do, but what he does do is the wrong thing, which isn't great. And it just, I don't know why, ever since the Cheltenham game, there was one silly moment, which maybe I'm being harsh for, but it just doesn't offer anything, you know? Like, he's, and I know it's hard at the moment. He's not a centre forward, which I've said many a time. He's not a right wing back. He had that good game against Sunderland. But I just can't. I just don't know where he fits in. And he's another loan. But we've got someone who we've not seen yet in Niall John, who's got energy. He's creative. He likes to get on the ball. But I mean, if you say to me, right, what can Leko do? And it's like, well, I don't actually know, because he doesn't take players on. He doesn't try and get on the shoulder. He just runs around aimlessly. I just don't know what he brings to the team, you know. And with DJ, like, I think in flashes he was okay. In parts of the season, pre-season, he looked sharp, but he's not a wing-back. So I feel for him a little bit. But sometimes it's still basic. He doesn't attack a full-back. And when he plays right wing-back, he's so nervous going forward because of what's going on behind him, as you saw for the goal yesterday. I can understand why he doesn't want to go forward, but then it makes it an ineffective team. Wing-backs are supposed to go up and down. We go up to the halfway line and then stay there. You know, even when, you know, Castillo, when he played, he tried getting forward, but it's like, you're supposed to be a marauding left wing-back. And we're not even doing that, so no wonder why it's not sticking. No wonder why we're not creating any chances. But then it comes all the way back. We got to do first full circle and come back to the formation again. But yeah, I just find them both really ineffective. I just, their attributes are to be on the ball, be explosive, be dynamic. But when they're not even doing that, so what's the point in playing them? You know. So I don't know. It's just frustrating, and I'm not just digging them two out. I'm not saying they're the cause of all of our issues, but on those two players, which you asked me, they're my frustrations with them. So hopefully they're listening, and they listen to me. So no, they're not going to listen.
Yeah. Imagine if they just subscribe to the pod, just so they can hear themselves getting hammered every week by Nathan Muller. What a life to live that would be. Right, Alex Varney says, evening, guys. I hope you guys are well. Well, what can I say? Another loss. 5 on the trot. People were calling for Adkins' head for less. In no way am I suggesting we move JJ on. However, this club, full club rebuild was too big of a job for someone so early in his career as coach and manager. Sandgaard should have sat him down, told him he liked his moxie, but that it was too soon. He should have brought someone in who had years of experience and told Jacko to learn from him. Alas, he didn't, and so we were in this situation. I was the one who got swept up in JJ's early days too, and the fan in me beat the logical-ish brain. I think Sandgaard should tell JJ he has next season to push on with recruitment and contracts, and he also needs to get a CEO in ASAP. He then needs to come out and apologise for the Prem in 5 years stuff and admit that it will take more work than previously thought. I love the enthusiasm of it all, and it was good to see, but it's been used as a stick to beat the man, and that's frustrating. The worst thing about today was that I switched off and just did something else with my day. Here's hoping for a pickup in form soon. Yeah, I mean, we've spoken a lot about Jacko. I guess Alex has mentioned Thomas Sandgaard there as well, and you know, he has been a name that gets mentioned a lot on the pod due to his part in obviously running the club. But he will. I mean, this is a massive year for him now. I think I said as much to him when I spoke to him in the pub, like when he was there at that pub, wasn't he, a few weeks ago, the one he played the guitar, and I said to him, like, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration, but I think fans would probably forgive like a bad year as long as it's followed up by a lesson learnt year. So, I mean, this is a massive summer for him.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And as you say, I think I'm prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt at the moment. I'm not one of those that just subscribes to he saved the club, so therefore he can do no wrong. In the same way, yes, Jacko's a club legend, but he can make mistakes too, and neither of them are bulletproof. But, you know, he is naive to football. He's new to this. He is learning along the way, and so he is going to make mistakes, and I think he would admit himself he has. But
you look at some of the decisions he's made on paper, and that email there talking about experience. You know, Nigel Adkins came in, okay, he hadn't been a manager for a while, but he is an experienced football manager. He had got teams out of this level. He finished last season very, very strongly, and he recruited a side that he thought was going to work with players that, again, on paper, lots of the people that we signed, we were quite pleased about. So why did the season start so badly, and whose fault is that? You know, I think Thomas put his hand in his pocket, we bought players, and it didn't work. And then I think most of us were calling for Jackson. You know, we all said it was taking too long. I know there were still some people that said no, but when he was in that interim role and he was winning games, lots of us were saying, well, he deserves the role now. You can't give it to anybody else. So again, it's very easy to be captain hindsight now and go, oh, it was too early, we should never have done it. But at the time, it felt right. And personally, I still feel like it is right. So Sangard has to take some of the blame himself as well. But at the same time, it is a lot of this is hindsight. You know, lots of the players on paper, good at this level, experienced manager with Jacko learning underneath him, right sort of idea. It just hasn't worked. And, you know, everybody can see that. And there's nobody that's going to say that it has. And if he gets this summer right, as you say, I think we will forget about this season very quickly. If next season starts badly and this kind of fracture amongst the club, which we spoke about on Thursday, still exists going into the start of next season, it could turn nasty. But I just don't think we're there yet. I think obviously we need to stay up this year and then we just need to see. But it is imperative that we start our summer business early. Absolutely imperative. And if we get that right, we've got half a chance next year.
Right, Reg says, lots of talk about formations, players not trying and a lack of strikers, but the real reason for the poor run of form is that my wife has yet to wear the Charlton gloves I bought her for her birthday at the start of February. This will be put right next Saturday. In addition, a new regime is in place this week in advance of Sunderland. My good lady wife has donned her Charlton pyjamas for the week ahead. Or as we call it, lingerie. We shall also be taking our pre-match drink at the Anchor and Hope instead of the Royal Oak. Besides, it's Sunderland. Yeah, all the signs will point in the right way. As a fact, what we need to do is just play Sunderland and Portsmouth every week for the rest of the season. Portsmouth only away, though, of course, and then we'll be fine. And obviously, Reg mixing up the pre-match ritual as well to try and get a change in luck. Good idea. Right, Tom says, morning, chaps. A quick one for me. Currently in the Dales, Mina is still in prison over in Walford. Mick and Shirley find out the body in RG Bardi. Well, I'm not going to say who it is in case it gives a... Because I watch EastEnders and I know that would be a bit of a spoiler. And in Weatherfield, Adams is still having problems with his ex Lydia. All jokes aside, this is unacceptable week in, week out. These are the same players who are running through brick walls for Jacko when he was caretaker. If they want to see him out of a job, they're going the right way about it. However, it doesn't matter how much we love Jacko, it's a results business. How we can persist with 3-5-2, it's not working and the players aren't good enough to play it. Boys, I don't know how you do this every Sunday. It's getting me down and it's not the Charlton we all know and love. Good luck and have a nice week. Cheers, Cabby. Yeah, no, it can be a bit soul-destroying. I've mentioned my desire for the season to end sooner rather than later. But, you know, there might be some excitement still to come if we get sucked into a relegation battle. Finally, Robert says, hi, guys. Another disappointing result and performance felt very much like a 2-0 hammering. An early goal from another set piece is infuriating. Some of our passing was comical yesterday. Gaining Stockley back from injury is a bonus, but losing Innes is another blow. We still need 2 or 3 wins before the end of the season to avoid relegation. Roll on the final game so we can have this season finished. All the best. That's from Robert. Cheers, Robert. Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned Ryan Innes, I don't think, Nathan. And we should end the show on that. It's probably, unfortunately, it's so routine that it doesn't feel like it needed to be at the top of the show. But Ryan Innes out injured again. You know, dreadful luck for him. It's a fire problem. It was a fire problem that kept him out for a long spell at the start of the season. No timeline on it yet. But, I mean, we're only a couple of months from the end of the season. So it could well be that that's the last we've seen him in a Charlton shirt. Because I guess with his injury record, it's going to be tough for him to secure a new contract.
Yeah, of course it's going to be tough. I think the only way that you're going to get around it if you do a pay-as-you-play, but for obvious reasons financially, a lot of players and agents probably won't want to go down that road because knowing his own injury record, you're not going to sign something and makes you worse off financially. So it may well be. I don't know the extent to it. Obviously, I've seen the article yesterday, your article yesterday, or Rich's article yesterday, rather, or whoever's it was. And yeah, it's disappointing because we know he's a good defender on his day and he's such a threat in both boxes. And obviously after the Norwich game, I was speaking to him and he was trying to set milestones to try and hopefully sit down. But another setback does make it a little bit difficult, and the cards, you know, he hasn't got it stacked in his favour now. So, yeah, it could be, and it's disappointing. It is disappointing, but ultimately we can't be paying players who aren't available for the majority of the season. There's just the finances, we should be spending it more wisely. Chucks is out now. Again, I don't know how long he's out for. So we just need to start getting players that can consistently play, you know, throughout the season. I know you get injuries and suspensions and what you know. So, but he's unavailable too much. And then you can't build a team and you can't get consistency if we've got one defender out this week and then another one out the next, and then we've got a striker who's always out. So I think it's unfortunate. As long as I'd love to see him there and him stay fit, we need to spend resources on more reliable players, in my opinion.
There we go. Right, I think that's a good place to end the show. So thanks for everyone who's tuned in this week, and thanks for all of those of you who sent your messages in as well. Thank you, Tom and Nath, for sharing the misery with me.
Cheers, boys. Lads.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to the home game with Sunderland. Hopefully that will be the game where we start to turn our form back on. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.